listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Who the fuck, Gambino? This nigga on your TiVo. My hotel costs a kilo. I'm banking like a free throw. Fuck y'all, we 18. Y'all playing B like Walgreens. Cop that shit and paint it black. Niggas want they summer back? Ha ha, no way. Hugh blows, Dolce, beans in my hand. Girl in my car, she see over the man, but she seeing me tomorrow. Homegirl on that Master P. Watch us ball like referees. Unnecessary roughness? We just trying to function. Used to sport them feelers, cause my cousin packed them heaters. We don't wife them like a lever. We just partied and we leave them, tell them what we hitting. We don't really see them. My girl look best when she fitted me Q and Bino in the house and your niggas in the Senate. Get it? Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's feedback time.
It is.
That's right. Time to talk about all the stuff that you guys sent us. You guys can be, have your voices heard by sending us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Just make sure they're 5 stars and they're nice. Mm-hmm. Or else we won't read them. You can email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. You can go to our website, The Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us comments on each episode. We have a poll with each episode, so you can vote in the poll. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that.
Yes.
And you can also donate to the show. The donate button is on the right hand side of the website on the front page. We go to theblackguywhotips.com, just go, hey, donate button, and it'll pop up, and you can do that as well. So lots of ways to get in touch with you. Lots of ways to let us know that you're out there, you're listening, you're enjoying what we're talking about, you're picking up what we're putting down, as they say. You know, this episode once a week is dedicated to the fans, you know, the people that we wouldn't be doing this show if nobody was listening.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, people that have been riding with us and stuff like that. You know, it's weird because it's like our least listened to show of the week, but it's my favorite show to do.
Yes.
Because we get to hear from you guys and what you think and about what we said and interact and kind of get to know people, via their feedback. So.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also leave voicemails at 2 minutes or less, 704-557-0186. But they have to be 2 minutes or less because Skype will cut it off. Okay.
Yeah, so, we didn't set that rule.
Yeah. And so we'll play those if we got any this week as well. And you won't hear a prompt. It'll just say like, you've reached the Skype caller who is not at the line to mm-hmm. take your call.
A generic 53% yeah. white woman.
Right. So you're in the 53. Karen, you know I take offense to that now that I'm over here pumpkin spice stuff, okay? It's not all of us.
Well, you're gonna have to be offended because them your people, white woman of color over there.
And this is why we not good allies. This is why I'm not
voting. See, y'all already starting. Mm-hmm.
That's why I wasn't with her.
Everything is us darkest fault, ain't it?
Comments like that. And I'll just make sure to get my Infinity scarf and get the hell out of here.
I know. Go on in there, do your yoga class.
You can leave feedback all those ways we just brought up. All right, let's the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball to the motherfucking extreme, nigga. And bullet ball extreme. All right, let's see if I can find the music for our donations. You guys send money in and we like to read the names.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
That's right. Kimberly, Jay, thank you very much for your recurring donation. We appreciate you.
We do.
Who else we got here? Sorry, my phone's moving slow. Marcus E. Thank you so much, Marcus. Halleque H. Oh, this is doing the same thing. It's going back to the A. I read these people's names.
Oh, it's not taking
all right,
it
let
out.
Let me start at the top. Right. Jonathan H. Thank you very much, Jonathan. We appreciate your recurring donation.
We do.
Anthony S. Andy S. I'm sorry. Thank you, Andy. Corey B. We appreciate you, Corey. KM. Thank you so much, K. We appreciate your recurring donation. Early Daisy Photography, of course. Thank you so much, Early Daisy Photography.
Yes.
Coulter H. Thank you, Coulter. We appreciate you. Nicole F. Thank you, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else we got here. Marvin B. Yes. Marvin B, recurring donator.
Yes.
J Full, we appreciate you, J Full. Chriselle, she hooked us up. Thank you, Chriselle. We appreciate you. Candace H, it's good to see you in church this morning. Asia D, thank you so much, Asia D. Nerds in Luxury, okay, appreciate them coming through and donating a little something. Justin J, we appreciate you, Justin. Thank you so much for donating to the show. Bambi, thank you very much, Bambi H. Latanya D, appreciate you, Latanya. Yes. Adam S, thank you, Adam. We appreciate you looking out for the show. Katie G, thank you so much, Katie. Jason J, I feel like I said his name already, but thank you, Jason, for coming through and helping us out. Annie P, Annie, are you okay? Ask yourself that, because we want to know. Email us in, let us know if you're all right. Calfani G, thank you very much, Calfani. We appreciate you. Nidra D, thank you very much, Nidra. We appreciate you as well. And then I only remember this because she sent me the email today, but this lady would like us to call her Auntie Maine.
Okay. Aww.
Now I don't know if that's like, you know, what was like, I hope I can remember that every week, every month, because I won't see this name again for 30 days, and I hope I don't fuck it up, and I'm sorry if I do in advance, but I'm gonna try to remember to call you Auntie Maine. But she's a brand new recurring donator.
Thank you,
go
baby.
To the new members class, Auntie Maine. We appreciate you. let's see who else we got here. Okay, that one doesn't want to load. All right, how about this one? And that one doesn't want to load. All right, well, take your time, you know.
I mean, no, we got new Wi-Fi. We got three of them to choose from.
I know. I don't think it's the Wi-Fi. I think it's just this email program. Let me open up and go back in. Oh God, this is so embarrassing. Oh great, now it's going all the way back to all of my back in there. Oh God.
What is happening?
Okay, here we go. Okay, that was last week. What happened? It used to work. Christina S. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you,
Nicholas Z. Thank you, Nicholas. Bomani Jones. You guys know him. The Right Time with Bomani Jones.
Yes.
Miss Hathaway. Thank you, Miss Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
Rita May C. And that's everybody. Okay. Ooh, good grief. Every week, this is a damn roller coaster.
Difficulty.
Right now.
Tears, stars. This is what I do.
I smile.
Hey.
Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile, smile.
Hallelujah.
It's so hard to look up when you look down.
I know it's hard right now.
Sure would hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile. So smile. You look so much better when you. And 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 you look so much better when you. You look so much better when you. And you look so much better when you smile.
Oh damn, we played the whole song. Alright. 5-star reviews. We had a few on iTunes over here.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We got one from Claiming My Tithe from Nunya D Business. And it's Bidnaz, BIDNAZZ.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hello, Queen Karen and husband Ron. My phone finally gave me a place to write a review instead of a blank page. I got my cup and I'm finally chipping in. Please find the attached thine tithe to be paid. I've been faithfully freeloading the podcast since my first black centric podcast, Black Girls Talking, ghosted their fans on every platform. Oh, for
aww.
Real? Dang, that's sad, man. Hashtag still bitter. Hey, that is a bad feeling when you love a podcast and they just be like, it's not worth it. And they just stop working, stop doing it.
Right. And then, like you say, you can. Most people leave their stuff out there, but you actually can go and just remove your stuff like you never existed. And some people do that.
Now I just recently discovered that Mike and Jamel are curving us on the OG podcast. All that's just to say, you cannot quit us ever. Please, please, please. I like that this is your first time putting in, and then you like, listen, guys, okay?
Y'all can't leave me.
All my other men did me dirty.
Right. All my other podcasts left me high and dry.
Now, you can't do me like that, okay? I work in a field that taxes...
What I'm gonna do if you let me down?
Right. What I'm supposed to do? I work in a field that taxes... Oh, this is not supposed to open. I work in a field that taxes the soul. I require ignorant amounts of you of us on the drive-in, on the ride home, and in my office when the boss is away. I get my whole ass life to Queen Karen's rants. It's like a 2017 version of Claire Huxtable or Julia Sugar Baker. Sugar Baker Reed. I'm here for Karen's yelling. wait, hold on. I'm here for Karen yelling her color when not playing Guess the Race. I'm here for Rod's unexpected pun game, and the heartfelt thank you babies that Karen gives is like the mac and cheese that's cooked in the big oval pot with the white specks on it. If anyone is looking for Auntie at the cookout level blackness, this podcast will recharge your soul, plug in, and find your sanity. P.S. 53% and what the fuck are we doing here have found their way into my daily verbiage, Lana.
Yes!
Thank you so much for writing in. That was great.
Thank you, baby.
Great review. Wolf Girl writes in, ain't nothing changed, still informative and fun.
Oh.
I still thoroughly enjoy this listening to TBGWT every day. I'm now a listener for about 2 years. I still love the discussions on current events that affect the black community, the witty remarks and games, and just the down-to-earth personalities of the host, Rod and Karen. I still appreciate the different views and insights they have on the shared subjects that they discuss. I still haven't been able to stop listening, and I started always looking forward to the next podcast. Rod and Karen are the best and well worth the investment for premium. I listen to them at work and can't and won't do without them. Absolutely love them. Wolf Girl at Butterfly Rose, Marie Review. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very helpful. Mm-hmm. This is my husband's phone by Project Sick, who says he's asleep. And I'm only here to lead this review. This show is fantastic, and the co-host will enlighten and entertain you, and I think he's waking up. Let me tell you something.
Shout out to hubby.
One, you're a true fan, okay? And I love that y'all in your relationship, you can sneak in his phone, not to check to see if he's DMing somebody, mm-hmm. or what his text messages look like, or whose dick pics might be in there. No, you went in there and said, let me leave a 5-star review. That's love right there.
That real love.
A fave by Renewal with a RH Newell. It says, one of my favorite podcasts, honestly a gateway drug to several others. Love the interaction between Rod and Karen, the political commentary, the pop culture discussions, the Game of Thrones recaps, but my favorite part is the pun storms that Rod randomly goes on with honorable mention to Karen's attempts.
Yeah, I'm bad. I'm real bad.
Thank you so much, guys, for your 5-star reviews this week.
Yes.
We got one on Stitcher as well. Lee Michelin True says, one of the best podcasts out there. My favorite things about this show: 1, insightful commentary; 2, Rod's sarcasm game is strong; 3, Karen's laugh is everything. I've been listening to this show for several months. Every single show makes me think and laugh so hard. I also appreciate both of them will admit if they don't know something and correct themselves if they made a mistake. I don't even know how I found this podcast. Just now when I saw the picture and the title, I had to listen. Best decision I ever made. Keep up the excellent work, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. I know if you're on Stitcher, Stitcher has a really, really good algorithm that actually matches up and kind of puts us in people's rotations if they listen to other podcasts that are connected to us.
And I'm going to tell you something, dog. Real talk. I don't always know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Mm-mm.
And I don't, like, and I'm not saying that I'm some ignorant, like, pride shit, or like, nigga, I don't know what that shit, like,
no, I
try to know what I'm talking about. Like, I try to, honestly, I try to do research and stuff. Some of these issues, man, I don't know. Like, some of this stuff is not as black and white as people make it seem.
Correct.
Some of this stuff does have shades of gray. Some things I feel very passionately about, but it's a secondhand type of passion where it's like, well, I know people who are going through such and such, and this is what they say, and I believe them. You know, like, I don't know for myself, because I can't live everybody else's life. I know what I think feels right sometimes, and there's just certain shit where I'm like there's this thing happening in Spain right now, where there's a certain subsection of Spain, they don't even speak like the same language and shit, and they don't want to be part of Spain, and they want to secede basically from Spain, and they voted for their own independence and all this shit. And Spain is sending in like police and shit to make sure that these motherfuckers stay within the Spain, you know, jurisdiction or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I saw stuff where people were saying, well, this is happening because it's funded by Russia or something, like Russia's making this happen. Oh, I've seen people that are like, listen, these people are basically the Palestinians of Spain. They like, they have just been oppressed by these motherfuckers, and they don't even, this is not even their culture. They just, you know, I don't know. I don't live there. I've read various different accounts. All I know is enough to just say, I don't really fucking know. And I had to leave it at that, you know, like, I'll never know. I didn't live there. I see what people say, and I just, you know, I hope they know more than I know, because I don't, you know, it's hard to be, I don't know. I don't feel like there's a, there's not a, credit in saying you know shit when you don't. I just don't feel that way.
Mm-mm.
Like, if I don't know, I don't know. And it, and like I said, and like you and brought up, if we are wrong about something, or we get some information wrong and we find out that it's wrong, like someone told us this thing happened and it absolutely didn't happen, I do believe in going back on the show to address that. I don't believe in handling it privately if we talked about it publicly. I don't believe in being like, well, I just don't believe it. If I mean, sometimes the truth isn't convenient, but that's what makes, I think, that's what makes people with integrity better, is that they can admit that, rather than to be like, I'm not gonna admit that a bad person did a good thing, or that something I thought was fucked up really wasn't, or something I thought was good really wasn't. I you know, I'd rather try to live with the truth than to make up my own shit.
Yeah, that's true. And I know for me, I don't know everything, and a lot of people will never admit that you don't know everything. There are people that specialize in certain fields, and this is their shit, and this is what they do, and they dedicate their lives to these things. And we also live in a society, and we've talked about before, when it comes to social media, where everybody just wants to talk loud and nobody actually wants to actually listen or understand people who actually know about these particular fields, or can actually teach them about whatever the particular field is. And like I said, I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't know if I'm just old, but I don't have a pride issue too, because I think for some people it's a big pride thing. I don't have that prideful thing in me that says that I can't be wrong. I don't have that prideful thing in me that stands up and say I can't apologize, or I can't say I'm sorry. A lot of times what happens too is, as new information comes out, your views and opinions should change, because you actually got more information, and the more information you have, that means the more educated your decisions should be. But when we live in a world without critical thinking skills, and I am amazed how many adults do not have your basic critical thinking skills that I learned in my 20s in college. Probably should have learned before then, but you know, I took a class on it where they actually went through it and taught you what it was about. You know, you have a lot of older people who, and young people, who just want to deny things because it makes them feel better to deny it. Because if you accept certain things, you have to accept the fact that you could be wrong. You have to accept the fact that your foundation and everything you learned and everything your mama taught you and your daddy taught you and everything your family taught you could be wrong. And nobody wants to admit that the things that you thought were the foundation of your life were wrong.
Yeah, I think, and even before you get to like the crucial truths of stuff like that, where it's the foundation of everything, you know, I think even little shit, you know, like if we read a story that says, you know, when we read that Matt Damon made that story, not be in the New York Times for Weinstein, you know, at the time I was like, oh, okay, yep, totally can believe that. This is what's being reported. A couple days later, someone was like, oh, did you know that got retracted? I think it was Nina on Facebook. I was like, oh no, I hadn't heard that. The last I heard was just the initial accusations and the writer saying that he called and tanked this story. She was like, no, the writer retracted it. It's on her Twitter page. So I go and I felt a responsibility to say that on the show, because despite the fact that I don't see it for Matt Damon, I also don't want to do the type of show where you just say fucked up shit. It's not true. You find out that it's not true, and then you just go, eh, whatever. I already said it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's fucked up. I know people do it all the time. I don't personally want to be that kind of person.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, and I also don't think people are super black and white. I think most people are in some shade of gray, whether it's, you know, closer to good or bad. Almost every person got some shit about them where it's like, okay, well, this thing, they weren't fucked up that day. but they still, you know, doesn't mean I have to now be their best friend, but no. You know, I just think I think that's what makes people gravitate towards our show, is that we're not just out here trying to take everything one way or the other. So, but thank you for writing in.
Yes.
We got some people that wrote in comments on the website. Episode 1548, Madea goes to Wakanda. We had some feedback. D Ramsey PH Dunn says the title of this episode will go down in history along with Happy Negro Day. 5 stars. Well, I believe it was Happy Nigga Day, but okay. Nor Dynamite says, first off, I'm all for the next 4 years of Cheeto 45 being called a racist, or racist to his or her face. I saw that dude again today. Same thing. Don't trip, Rod. Your Madea impression was good enough to deliver these jokes. Thank you. Most importantly, I could picture and hear Madea saying those things. I was literally in tears by the end of all the jokes. That was right up there with gay Jesus jokes from last week. Well, don't tell Mac. You've been in your bag as of late with these rapid fire jokes. Keep it Wakanda, y'all. P.S. Let's get that Queen Karen the Safety Pin box Queens mixtape popping. 15 tracks of all three of them telling folks about themselves with tainted jokes. Also, Karen gotta have a track called 53%.
Oh, you know that my 53% gonna be lit, because everybody gonna be 53%. Yeah, it is. Your voicemail lady, she 53%.
The poll was a very complicated poll. Would you watch a Tyler Perry movie directed by, I mean, would you watch a Tyler Perry directed Marvel movie? Yes or no?
Oh, that one hard. But you know what? I trust Marvel. I trust Marvel enough that they will let Tyler. I will watch a fucking, if Marvel's on it and that woman is standing behind him going, nigga, if you fuck up, I will fire your ass.
I will watch it.
That's how much I trust Marvel.
I will watch it. I feel no conflict about it, but
it will be fabulous.
I will watch the fuck out of Black Panther 2, Madea Goes to Wakanda, but that's just me. Anyway, 38% of our audience said yes, 62% said no. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn
First day, as soon as they go on sale, I'm like, you got the tickets?
Brooklyn
3D IMAX, they be getting all, we're upgraded. They be getting all, y'all be mad at us. Y'all niggas are part of the problem, sure is.
Let them do the Nick Fury movie.
Yes!
Yeah, Samuel Jackson's solo movie as Nick Fury, where we find out that he got a secret wife, babies he don't take care of, he caught AIDS. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, I'd watch it on DVD.
Nah, I'm watching it opening day.
I'm going to the
first
theater.
Day 3D IMAX HD.
Mm-hmm. The twist where all the Avengers get AIDS. I gotta see it.
Come on.
When with Sam hold a baby outside of a window.
Yes.
I need to see it, guys. We had episode
when Ultron is a light skinned man who loves Jesus. I am here for the fuckery.
Yeah, he gonna bring back Terrence Howard.
Yeah, he is.
Episode 1549, Pumpkin Spice Up Your Life. We had several comments on this one. Michelle says, Sessions is helping with the prosecution of Kadari Johnson case because the suspects fit the demographics of the type of person he liked to portray as violent. When it's all said and done, this will be another story that the white supremacists use for their what about black on black crime response. I honestly don't think it goes much deeper than that for someone like Sessions. Maybe you're right, man. I honestly don't know what the fuck is going through that guy's mind. I think him, Trump, that entire administration loves to make showy anecdotal things. They love to do showy
substance.
He might dance with Caitlyn Jenner. Yes. And then he's going to strip all the rights for trans people throughout the entire federal government. Like, to me, it fits a pattern, but it definitely does fit the agenda in this case, specifically that they would be prosecuting two people of color. I do wonder, if there's, what the other cases are, because they didn't say that this was the only case, but I do wonder, I would have to look at the other DOJ cases and see what else they're prosecuting, but, like, a lot of times with Republicans and stuff, they don't believe in the government protecting these people's rights to live, like not even some great grandiose shit, just breathing, you know, like they don't believe in that on a holistic level, but they do believe in individual showy prosecutions in a lot of cases. And that's something we all need to get out of our system, but in a lot of cases that's also because we believe in punishment as a deterrent to crime when it's not.
No, it's not.
But that's but showy shit like this is why. I mean, but if we're being honest though, we all buy into the, not all, but a lot of us buy into this. Like, why do we care if something's prosecuted as a hate crime or not? We assume that this will then make another person who was going to do something hateful go, I don't want to do that because I'll get more time for doing a hateful act that will be prosecuted as such, as opposed to whatever I already did, right? Like, you already shot somebody. That's already manslaughter, attempted manslaughter, murder, depending on the outcome. Oh, well, now we're going to throw hate crime on top of it. And when I see that, I'm always like, good, give them a hate crime. Fuck them. But I don't know that it's actually a deterrent to racist violence happening to people.
Correct.
I just feel better because I have that vengeance inside of me. But I think this is the kind of shit that Republicans sell us too, is this, we need the death penalty to keep these motherfuckers from killing people. But we, all the statistics say it doesn't stop anybody from doing shit. So yeah,
what actually works is the shit nobody wants to do, which is actually rehabilitation.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's just very interesting. So yeah, Michelle, I'm not saying you're wrong. Fuck it. For all I know, you could be absolutely 100% right, and it definitely serves both purposes of him being able to say, I'm not a bigot. Why would I prosecute this case if I'm a bigot, while also stripping out the protections of people who are trans from the government? So Destructo Kitty says, I cried reading Lupita's piece, y'all. The fact that Harvey the Hutt rolled out of his filth to explicitly try to refute her story made the whole thing so much worse. God didn't reply to any of the other women, but really tried it when a prominent black woman shared her story. Hope he gets dragged to the afterlife, and I hope him and a few others recently fired aren't the only predatory gatekeepers we get rid of as a result of all that that's happened. The Lupita joint, it was so fucked up because it was right after that other piece came out that was like, see, black women don't get these roles because they're not seen and they're not. And I'm like, and I, like I said, this isn't a diss to the person that wrote that. I understood their point, and it's not that they're wrong or anything, because it does belie a lot of that. Like, how do you even get in a room? What makes a movie star? How do you get an agent? Who decides what roles to cast you for? Like, all that shit is affected in the game, and it definitely involves racism, and bias and discrimination. All that being said, these predators, they prey on the people they decide, they feel are the most desperate. So I think there's got to be a litany of black and brown women that have been abused by the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, whether they come forward or not,
whether we know them or not. Do you know
they feel like they can come forward?
Right, because it's already, because you're already a marginalized group, and that's why they attack group. People that do shit like this always attack a group that they feel, quote unquote, don't have no rights. Like you say, he normally attack people that are not from the United States. They know English is normally not their first language and shit like that.
She's the only one that he tried to refute her story. Now, here's the thing. Twofold, right? On the one hand, why a lot of times I think women of color and people that feel like they're more on the fringe won't come forward. Cause he attacked her. Like he was offended at the mere idea. Now, these other women, he didn't say shit. And keep in mind, this is a man who's apologized. Remember, before this happened, he tried to stem it with an apology. He went and hired Gloria Allred's daughter
because he thought that was going to fix it.
Yeah, he tried to get ahead of this by showing contrition. Didn't refute anybody else's claims except hers. Right? Okay. So
it's like, how dare you?
Right, your black ass. You know, I would never. Right. So you got that part of it. Here's the second part of it, though. The people that are leading the charge of Me Too and let's stay off Twitter for a day, they are so coming up so short on intersectionality and the racial dynamics to all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why if I was abused by this dude, I might not want to come forward and join you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that her shit dropped like a few days afterwards, after some of the stuff died down. She just released one statement, no press conferences, no interviews, no, just.
Where was the protest? Where was the solidarity? Where was, hey, y'all guys, let's get off Twitter. Listen, right?
When, cause she didn't get kicked off Twitter, but I'm just saying.
No. What were the white women coming and going, hey, let's join in solidarity for Lupita and get off Twitter?
Oh, I don't think it's the same situation.
Oh, okay.
Rose McGowan got kicked off Twitter.
And oh, that's why they did
that. Yeah, that's why they did that. But still though, when Jemele Hill got harassed, there's no solidarity. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a boycott of Twitter. It was my point. You still could have, did you even say anything?
No.
Did any of them say anything? Is my, mm-mm. Jill Scott had an interaction where she was pregnant and he said some nasty shit to her. Are they saying anything? Like, mm-mm. I don't think it's a coincidence that these stories came out. Tessa Thompson had a story. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence these stories came out later and they weren't joined up and locked in arms with all these women who were talking about some solidarity just a couple of days before that. It's very complicated. He's still a piece of shit. He's still scum, but there's levels to the pushback. And I can understand why. You know, like I said, there may be black women that are just silent about the shit because it's like, mm-hmm. I don't want to have to fucking fight on every side. I don't get to be the leader of these movements. I don't get to be, people don't defend me. People don't step up, don't say shit. Like, it has mm-hmm. to get so out of control for someone like me in order for these motherfuckers to even see me as a person that it's not worth the fight.
Nope.
You know, but that's what made me mad about reading Lupita's piece. And yeah, of course, he would come out and disavow her. So you would think, being that he's the one, she's the only one he came out and like basically attacked, you would think all these white women that's been fighting for days while he sat silently would come out and be like, hey, we stand with Lupita, you're not gonna do this. But how can you, when the day before you tweeted out, well, James Corden would have said the n-word, y'all would have been mad. But he said women, so it's okay for him to make these jokes. What? You know what I mean? Like, oh, sorry, y'all. I was smoking a lot of weed. You know how it is. I get mm-hmm. racist when I smoke weed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that kind of shit. So, yeah, to me, it's more sad to see the reaction to her coming out and the fact that this dude took a shot at her. And it's been days now. I still haven't seen any rallying around her from anyone that's not a person of color. So. Mm.
And that shit just matters, and that's why, you know, there's all, put like this, there's always going to be separation. There's going to be individual people when it comes between black feminists and white feminists, just black women and white women, that are kind of cross. But overall, that's why the division is there, and the division will always continue to be there, because at the end of the day, you're white, and you will always stand on the side of whiteness, and your whiteness comes before your womanhood.
Right.
And that's the thing, for black women, people want our womanhood to come before our blackness, but nigga, I'm black first, cause I get everything that the man gets too when it comes to blackness, and then my womanhood comes second.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about the day, you know how Bernie Sanders is now promoting, he's like, we just need to get some wins, so he's promoting local politicians that don't fucking support women's choice. You know, like, and he's decided that that's a identity politics issue and it's not important, and the only thing that's important is the economy, right? Keep in mind that the access to birth control, abortion, and other mammograms, all the shit that happens at Planned Parenthood and places like that, that's the economy.
Come on.
So I don't know how that turned into, it's, we need to worry about the economy and not identity politics. Motherfucker, if I have to have a baby, guess what that cost?
Money.
Right. If I can't get a cancer screening or a mammogram, guess what that cost me if I got cancer? You know, if I can't get access to birth control, guess what that does? Cost me money. Like what, like, anyway, sorry. That's a whole nother tangent.
Right.
Yeah, it was just interesting that they would do that shit, cause that's whack. that I wonder where those women who support Bernie Sanders, the I never Hillary white women and shit, you know, where do they stand on him promoting these candidates that are anti-choice? You know what I mean? Like, are they still standing with him or not? Cause I don't know, cause I don't roll in those circles. But it's like, are y'all still backing this dude when he's literally telling you your issues are not important to him and I'm going to support candidates that don't give a fuck about you because the economy is the only thing that matters and at least we won. So, like, the social issues of the Democratic Party are just as fucking important as the quote unquote economy, because they are the economy for most of us. Everyone who's not a white man, that shit is the economy.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Racism is the economy for me. You know, it's like, it's not just
because it affects
another separate issue.
Right, because it affects my ability to make money.
Yeah, so
yeah, they still support. They still support because it's whiteness over everything. You against my own interest. I don't give a fuck. It's whiteness over everything.
All right, so back to this. Sim Simma says, I've been disgusted reading so many of the details from the women who were harassed and assaulted by Harvey Weinstein, but reading the full op-ed that Lupita Nyong'o wrote had me in tears, feeling cornered in a bedroom in his home surrounded by a staff, and feeling so scared that she tried offering to give him instead of receiving a massage. I'm glad that she now feels empowered enough to share experience and has been able to thrive despite this monster. People need to go to jail with Weinstein, but they probably won't. I don't know if that was Lupita's experience. I thought Lupita was the one that he told her to come up to her hotel room. She brought somebody with her to dinner, and then so he didn't try anything. Then the next time he invited her out to dinner and said, you need to come up to the hotel room, and she said no, and then he was like, well, if you don't do this, I can't promise your career gonna be okay. And she was like, are you trying to say you're gonna do something to my career? And he was like, I'm just saying, I mean, you should be okay, but I don't know about your career. And she left anyway. I thought that was her.
I'm not sure. Like, all the stories.
God damn, it's so
many. They had three different ones. Yeah, they had three different ones, and one of them she did do, like, a back massage.
I know that. Yeah, there's several. There's the dude, he jacked off into a plant.
Yeah, that was that one. Now, that one wasn't her.
Yeah, there's so many at this point. I don't know. They're starting to run together.
Yes, they are.
Lance says, I had my first PSL. That's what we call pumpkin spice lattes, Karen.
Okay.
I had my first PSL a little bit after hearing your revelation, and it was so good. It damn near knocked me out my Lululemons. I know. It was so good, I had to tell a manager how good it was. I even left a 53% tip in the jar.
Yes!
Mm-hmm. I've been talking to management a lot lately. I was at the basketball court today. I said, can y'all lower this raise this divider so we can play on both sides? I used to wouldn't do something like that, but now I'm smelling so pumpkin spicy fresh. And she did it too.
Yeah, because you smelled the pumpkin spice on you. Gang recognized gang.
I'm thinking white people are scent activated, like bees or something. Evie E says, although I'm not a fan of pumpkin spice, I do love extra mayo on my sandwiches, cheese, Ugg boots, and Barry Manilow. My inner Becky really comes out when Britney is on the radio. Here's to you, Rod, for living your best white woman life. Thank you.
I do like extra mayo on my BLT, and sometimes I do an A.
Now, I'm more of a Miracle Whip person, but, you know, I'm going to give this mayo a shot, guys.
I'm a mayo person, too. Most time when you do Sam,
You mean a Miracle Whip person?
What I said.
You said mayo person.
Oh, I'm a Miracle Whip person, but I will do mayo when we out and about, because most people don't have Miracle Whip on their menu. You're just going to get regular-ass mayo.
The whites just have mayo. They don't have that Miracle Whip.
Yeah, and that's not funny. Mayo, it tastes like water. It don't got no flavor. It just make the shit wet.
It's just not my thing, but you know what? I'm gonna try it. I'll keep knocking it. Maybe they got pumpkin spice mayo out there.
They might do.
You know, maybe that's off the hook. But yeah, I'm just, you know, yeah, I've been acclimating to the whole lifestyle, man. I got, you know, my pumpkin spice, lotion, hemp's.
Now that's
pure just herbal extracts, pumpkin spice and vanilla chai, herbal body moisturizer.
Smells so good.
Y'all think I'm joking. I'll be smelling good in this shit. I put some extra on just now. But yeah, you hop out the shower and hydrate your skin with some of this lotion. Moisturize yourself.
I mean, are we going to start using the pumpkin spice sugar scrub to exfoliate your skin, dog?
If I can find some. Then I got my pumpkin spice playlist, you know. I've been playing that on Tidal. Got a lot of spicy hits on there, guys. You know, trying to get my best life on. It's relaxing too. The poll was easy. Pumpkin spice, yay or nay? 45%, it was very close. 45%, yay. I mean, 55% of y'all don't know the magical glory of pumpkin spice. That's so sad. That's so sad. Maybe if you guys can get a little bit of basic like me, you can live your best basic life. Yes.
Ooh, somebody said, Miss Ma says pumpkin spice whipped shea butter.
I believe it. Ooh. I believe it. I have to look it up.
I know, right?
No, I didn't know there was so much pumpkin spice out here in this world. And
oh, honey.
I'm so thankful.
It's daytime of the year, honey. Pumpkin spice is coming out the closet.
Mm-hmm. Drinks. I had a pumpkin drink the other day.
What, martini, wasn't it?
No, it was. Well, I had pumpkin spice martini, too. Mm-hmm. That was last Saturday at the Liberty.
Yes.
But I also had pumpkin spice, pumpkin coffee and vodka drink when we went out with Leslie and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit was tasty. And pumpkin spice pancakes, too. It wasn't as good as the pumpkin spice flapjacks, though, that I had from the toast. Now, that was
yeah,
off
now
the
hook. Flapjacks.
But the pancakes was good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been listening to my pumpkin spice playlist. It's got a lot of songs. I got like 19 songs on. I still got to add some more.
Oh, see, now I know this time of the year is apple season too. You know, they love like apple cider. See, this is me, apple cider. I see I'm too late. Got nothing in my brain.
That's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. On too many dates,
but I can't make them stay.
At least that's what people say. Mm-mm. That's what people say.
Mm-mm.
But I keep cruising, can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind saying it's gonna be alright.
Cause the players gonna play.
It's so good. Y'all need to get like this. Let's see how happy y'all just were.
Ah!
Brooklyn Shoe Babe left a comment. She said, this weekend I had pumpkin spice flavored Hershey Kisses. It was everything. Maybe white women are on to something. Aren't they? I feel like we should be appropriating they shit. Let's take it back. They probably stole it from somebody to get it in the first place.
Of course. Of course. Of course, honey. If niggas did pumpkin spice, but I mean, cause it's a cool thing, don't get me wrong, for white people, but if niggas started actually like pumpkin spicing it up, they would leave. They would be like, nah, getting too dark around this pumpkin spice.
Mm-hmm. Listen. I say, oh my God, I just want to shake it.
Ha, ha, ha.
Episode 1550, no hugs for my, Nazis. We had a lot of stuff to talk about on this one. EVE and other people left comments. Let me see. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, Queen Karen.
Yes.
Regarding the stray hairs on women's chins, cheeks, and necks, I started getting them in my mid-20s because I have PCOS, a hormonal problem that includes such symptoms as hirsuteness. I don't know how to pronounce this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for letting you down. Lack of ovulation, insulin resistance, and male pattern baldness.
Ah.
Most of the time I go to the salon to get my face waxed. Now my 12-year-old daughter tweezes my chin and neck and I give her $1 for doing it. The closer you get to menopause, the more hair you're going to see on your face.
Okay.
However, you'll find yourself having to shave your underarms, legs, and bikini line less if you shave now. I am 45 years old and my pubes started going gray around age 40. When I discovered it, I called my mom and shouted, why didn't you warn me? I think we spend so much time as women as a society fighting aging that we don't have honest conversations about what actually happens to our bodies as we get older.
Come on.
We might be able to keep a flat stomach through exercise or a smooth face due to creams and sunscreen, but the rest of our body will always give us away and we're never prepared. Actually, I type, we don't really have honest conversations as our body changes from puberty onward. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my daughters ages 10 and 12 don't want to hear it, but you just need to know. Sincerely, Brooklyn Shoe Babe.
Right, and even when it comes to having children, like, I've never had children, but women have had children say your body changes, and a lot of women say your body is never the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just, you know, you age and you mature, but there's like a pre-child and post-child. thing. So your body is adjusting to that. You go through hormonal changes with children. And I didn't even know it's a special type of diabetes that only happened when you're pregnant. Shit like that. A girlfriend of mine had it. I said, what? Well, I think it's called gestational diabetes. I was like, you got diabetes? She was like, yeah, you can only get it while you're pregnant. I was like, wow. Just shit like that. And a lot of times, just because society and a lot of women, truthfully, be it they know it or not, they buy into a lot of the patriarchy, because women don't talk to women about going through menopause. Women don't talk about women to other women about, you know, pre and post children, postpartum depression. Like, this shit really affects women, and it's a lot of women out there that think they have nervous breakdowns, they think something's wrong with them, they think they're going crazy, even with the internet out there. And unless you have somebody that you can even talk to, even when it comes to talking to your children about periods, you know, you got to talk to your children, because your child will actually think there's something wrong with them unless they know that they're not alone. That's one big reason why, because I know I was kind of anti the period party when you was talking, but I was like, you know, no, this makes sense, because you need to let a young lady know that you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you, nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of. We all go through this, and it makes it something that's more embracing, versus they feel like they're on a long, dark, cold road by themselves. You bleeding every month, and you be like, forever, mm-hmm. until somebody tells you, no, you go through menopause, but, you know, it depends on your age. You know, some women have their periods until their 50s. I did not know this, you know. So it varies per woman. And I think if more women were truthful to other women about shit versus be like, oh, girl, go ahead and have that baby. You don't know what it, you know, let's just keep it real. Every woman isn't meant to have a child. Every woman doesn't have this burning sensation in her soul to get married to a man. And, you know, and I think that if women across the board, regardless of their sexuality, would be truthful to other women, you would have more women that would make the right choices and the best decisions for them, and actually live a lot happier life, versus you living a life, you putting yourself in boxes, you chaining yourself to the ground, you're not living up to the best of your ability, because you're so concerned about what these other women thinking about you. And these other women are like, bitch, that shit is fake.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, it's always, as a guy, it's always interesting to see how much work goes into, you know, women's looks and stuff, because it's, you know, like, we've built society where this is a commodity for women in a way that it's not for men. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a necessity for women to look a certain way and all this shit, or else we just completely devalue everything about them. But yeah, that is interesting. And yeah, since we don't talk about it, there's probably going to be women that don't want to talk about it. Men definitely don't want to talk about it.
And the thing is, and it's funny though, because you can have men, and I've even heard people talk about this. You can have men that live with women, live in the same household with a woman. Mm-hmm. You fuck her. You know, you have sex with her, but yet, you won't go pick up pads or tampons for, you won't go pick up a birth control, but you are very intimate with this woman.
Right.
It's like, ooh, she got the cooties. Everybody knows how fucking body functions, dog. Like, come on. Like, and maybe this is jump, like me, I don't understand the separation there. You know, you have men, they say they never see pads or tampons anywhere around the house, because a lot of women have been trained to just keep that shit away from men. I don't talk about my period. I don't talk about the bloating. I don't talk about any of this. I got to quote unquote protect him. But we in this together, ain't we? You're intimate with me, aren't you? You just like I feel like I should be open with my body, and vice versa. Men are open with their bodies. There's a lot of men in reverse who have erectile dysfunction and shit like that, but they too afraid to talk to their mate. If I'm fucking you, I know that something's wrong, because you know the sex is not the same. But a lot of that is that thing that prevents men from opening up to women and prevents women from opening up to men. And I think that when people would be in happier relationships, if they were truthful with their mates.
Well, I mean, with that, there's like other things to it as well, because like there's this pressure to be like masculine in a way that's like people want to fit into a mold, the same way women want to fit into a certain like feminine mode. But you know, obviously not everybody. There's people in same-sex relationships. There's people that you know, kind of don't have those same roles within their life or whatever. But I do think for the most part it's unhealthy to try to make everyone fit into these boxes or whatever. The openness about what happens to women's bodies and stuff is, you know, definitely something that I just don't think people discuss it at all, because like everything is just a fight against aging, not this is what is going to happen to you, this is what you're going to look like, this is what's going to change. So I think that's why I saw so many people on Twitter that were like responding to that segment where you talked about the chin hairs and all that stuff, is because they were like, yeah, this like this is a universal thing and we don't get to talk about it enough.
No, and I did not realize that so many women dealt with it, like literally dealt with it, until I did a post on Facebook, you know, because Twitter's a little different, but and a lot of people just started chiming in, you know, about it. I did it as a joke, but so many women were chiming in about it and things they went through. Some women got lasers, like people talking about different methods that they use. Some women wax, some women shave, you know, and you just kind of learning what people deal with and what people go through. And it was like, okay, this is a very open space where we could be honest and truthful. And also kind of piggybacking to what I said before, a lot of people never got over their sex education of human bodies. And so, like you said, you got boys going, ooh, that's cooties, and they ooh that cooties until they die. And you're like, well, goddamn, this don't make no sense. Right. And you got women who's been taught to be ashamed of your body, and they're ashamed of their body and everything that functions around their body until the day they die. But my thing is, you know, when, in my opinion, particularly if you're in a, you know, a relationship where it's a loving relationship, you need to be truthful and honest with your mate, because even though you're a man, if something affects your woman sexually, it is has a direct impact on you in various different ways.
Right.
But, you know, it's one of those things where she don't feel comfortable with you. She might be going to doctor's appointments, making all these arrangements, and just leaving you out to you won't even know what's happening.
Look, she might have lupus, and then she just got a order where she's got a $50,000 advance for some pies, but it's like, you ain't never gonna be able to make all them damn pies if you don't come clean. You know, like, you gotta tell that man what's going on with your body, because how he gonna support you? He a good man, you know. It's not like he just out here in these streets or whatever. Like, he been, I know it's an age difference, and you don't want to be a burden to him, but he don't want to be a burden to you either. So he gonna be out here trying to help you make your pies, even if he gotta quit his job, cause he ain't not gonna work for the Landrys and betray the family like that. No, he part of the family too at this point. So if you gonna keep these secrets, you know, because your body is aging, you feel some level of shame that you can't just keep up like you used to, that, like, you gotta let that go for the health of your relationship, okay? That's all I'm asking. Cause now you can't make dollars cake. You know, she getting married, and the baby might not be Ralph Angels. I don't know what the hell is going on right now, but if people would just stop keeping all these goddamn secrets, maybe we can get this family together again, okay? Sorry to get carried away like that. Uncle Ebenezer says, hey, Rod and Karen, this is my first time commenting here. I usually email the show, but figured this is the perfect time to lose my comment in virginity here because of the topics of this particular episode. I am so excited at the convergence between the Blackout Tips and Living Color. I'm a musician, and I played guitar and drums since the late 80s. In fact, Living Color was one of the reasons I decided to play music at all, because I was so inspired when a friend's brother cranked Cold of Personality in the station wagon stereo on the way to see the movie Twins. As soon as I got home, I started trying to figure out how to play that awesome riff on my dad's acoustic guitar. All white families must have an acoustic guitar in the house, to by decree. They were my first concert without parental supervision. I've seen them a dozen or so times throughout the years, and more than any other band, deeply influenced my own approach to music. When I first started listening to the podcast and you would often talk about music, I would often wonder if either you knew Living Color's work, because their lyrics are such a perfect fit for everything you talk about on the show. They were singing about police abuse, housing discrimination, black pride and liberation, microaggressions, etc. 30 years ago, and their lyrics are more relevant than ever. Check out their first couple of albums, Vivid and Time's Up, and songs like Funny Vibe, which Way to America and Pride, for a couple examples you might dig. Listening to this podcast actually reminded me to go back and listen to some of that stuff again so many years later, with a much better appreciation for just how truly groundbreaking it was in a predominantly white world of hard rock. I've always suspected that LC was held back significantly because they spoke truths that made white audiences and sponsors uncomfortable. In fact, I know it's true because I can't tell you how many of my white friends who love Van Halen, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, Faith No More, bands, etc., bands without similar musical styles, just couldn't get into Living Color for some strange reason. Right. it's like with some how I imagine when people bring up our podcast, it's like, well, I don't know, I didn't like that one. It's like I can imagine why. Anyway, I hope you have a blast at the show. LC is one of the most amazing live rock bands you'll ever see. All four members are virtuoso talents and they play together with a chemistry that's unmatched. You might want to bring earplugs because they don't hold back and it gets loud in an awesome way. Love you all, Rod, Karen, LC, and all the TBGWT fans. P.S. Karen, I love when you jump into the bad pun game. The way you don't give a single F whether they make sense or not makes them even more enjoyable and always makes me laugh.
Thank you.
Thanks, Uncle Ebenezer. Appreciate it. And yeah, we can't wait, man. 31st, we're gonna be in Raleigh. We're gonna go see Living Color. Justin might be up there too, so hopefully he gets to come. EVE says, the only way I would hug a Nazi is to get close enough to punch them in the stomach. Seeing that picture literally made me sick, and it probably didn't accomplish a damn thing except make white people feel better about themselves. That Nazi is probably having a laugh right now, calling that guy all kinds of racial slurs. Yeah, I don't think we're gonna hug our way out of this one, guys. Think if that was the case, racism would have stopped a long time ago. White people just needed a hug, you know what I'm saying? Oh man, would you forgive Timberlake if he brought Janet to the Super Bowl? Yes, no, or I was never mad at him. This is a tough poll right here. Karen, would you forgive him if he brought Janet to the Super Bowl this year? I mean next year.
Probably not.
Okay. 33% of our audience says yes, they would forgive him if he showed up with Janet. 45% say no, they would not forgive him.
Because it don't erase what you did and you never made a public apology.
And 22% say I was never mad at him. Interesting. I'm not going to lie, guys. I would need to see it to know for sure how I feel. But I can imagine that if I saw him come out on stage and Janet was there, I would feel some level of forgiveness in my heart for him. I know I would, because it would be such a powerful moment in that, you know, in that moment. And I would, you know, I still would need him to apologize. I would imagine that that would take place before they got on stage. I can't imagine, or after or something. I can't imagine him doing that without an open apology, but I don't know. That's the only thing I could imagine. Like I it would be hard for me to hold. I think it's hard for me to hold a grudge when the person that is involved is over it. Like I don't like holding a grudge on behalf of some shit and you're like, I don't care about that anymore. I've moved on. Then I move on, you know. But as of right now, you know, I still hold a grudge against that dude. And it's still very much a relevant story. Like don't sleep on this. This ain't never go away. You Google Timberlake apology and literally the first art, USA Today, October 23rd. Why Justin Timberlake owes Janet Jackson a Super Bowl size apology. Vogue, Justin Timberlake will perform at Super Bowl halftime. They mentioned that he need to apologize. Quick read from Essence. Fans want justice for Janet Jackson after Justin Timberlake gets the Super Bowl. Like this shit ain't going away. And it's definitely gonna hang over him until he says or does something. And he could definitely white boy his way out of it and just not have her own, but he did mention that she's not banned and all this shit, so I don't know, maybe he gonna show up with her and try to do what Chris Brown did when he danced real hard at the BET Awards. Remember that? Nigga tried to dance his way into forgiveness. Oh man. So good. Anyway, EVE says Justin Timberlake can bring Janet on stage, let her throw a cup of piss in his face, and I'll still say fuck him forever. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. Strong. I do believe you too. Justin, oh man, Justin gonna have to go out there and pull them titties out one more time. Let her pull his dick out. That's who she, he should, he should have a patch on his pants and she gets to pull his dick out and be like, see America, how do you like it? You know what happened? They'll blame Janet.
Of course.
They would blame the fuck out of Janet. Never let her come back. It's her fault. Oh man. 1551 pumpkin spice Uggs and white people news. Ty writes, I know y'all announced it in the previous episode, but shout out to Queen Karen on the new gig. I think it takes okay, she's working part-time for Safety Pin Box, not full-time, at least not yet, you know. Hopefully it could be that at some point. But I saw people that were just like, oh, you left your job and all this stuff, and I was like, not yet guys, we're working towards it, you know, but hopefully, you know. I think it takes tremendous courage to leave a corporate job and branch out and do something different. It's wonderful to see that you have support of your husband and the TBGWT family. Now to your husband, Optimus Prime. I don't know if this is an evolution of Rod the Most Tripe, but instead of making songs about Hillary, white people covers about Bernie are surely something we can all get behind. I mean, am I right? To embrace your white woman of color identity is truly something to admire. You gonna wear your Uggs to the Y when you go play ball? Thought about it, but one, I don't want them niggas stepping on my Uggs. Two, I don't think they have the ankle support for basketball shoes, so I don't feel too.
They don't.
And they're flat. They don't have that curved arch like in your Nikes and shit.
Right.
So I would never fuck my feet up by playing in some motherfucking, some Uggs, dog. They're for relaxing, you know? They're for kicking your feet up on a nice autumn day, sipping on the pumpkin spice latte, looking out at the rest of the world and all the people that don't have enough. just being grateful.
Talking about that, Leslie reminded me, what about that song that popped up when we was out eating? What was the name of that song?
Oh man, we was out at, I don't even remember what the song was, but we was out somewhere and it was like a cover of like a white people news song.
No
started
Diggity.
Playing. Yeah, a cover of No Diggity started playing in the middle of fucking where did we go the biscuit, Flying Biscuit. We went, man, it's like it was following me around. But you know what, guys, thank God I had my Uggs on. I wasn't as bothered as I would have been,
but you were disgusted though. Your disgusted face, you was looking like
couldn't believe it.
Felt like everybody got quiet, like what is that song?
I thought somebody was pranking me or something. I was like, do they know about the show?
No, they have no idea.
What the fuck, who plays that?
It was terrible. It was like No Diggity,
right? Thank God I prepared everyone at that table. Who would have known what would happen?
Yeah, they're like, I like the way you work it, No Diggity.
If we wouldn't have been prepared on a moment's notice for the idea that
you
white people
always gotta
might,
be ready for covers.
That white people might try to cover our shit. Boy, we would have flipped the table over, the man sitting manager, you know. But it was all good. Then I spilled ice in Justin's pancakes. So.
That was hilarious.
But I didn't care because I was unbothered because I was white.
And demanded that they made him brand new pancakes too.
Well,
just like a white woman.
She knew that I didn't want to have to call to see a manager. She didn't want me back there because I would go all the way back there and see a manager.
Back in the kitchen.
I'm sure they're more comfortable than a pair of Nike slides anyway. And I mean, if yoga pants are what the future holds for you, who are me to judge? I mean, you know, we'll see.
And they do have men yoga pants. And
that's what everybody keeps telling me.
Yeah, and I've seen men in yoga pants because, you know, I used to take the class at the Y.
Yeah, I just can't picture me wearing yoga. I just can't see it yet, guys. But we'll see.
Don't knock until you try. Them shit's comfortable.
Listen, I couldn't see myself wearing Uggs not too long ago, so we'll see. I'm embracing my life.
And like a second skin.
Stepping into the fall of me is what I like to say.
Come on.
You mentioned your doctor gave you good news on Twitter, so why not show off that snapback? Well, those numbers were more for my blood pressure's down to like the goal that we had, which is good. All my other numbers have already been good, like cholesterol, all this stuff has always been good.
I know, we both been getting it, and I got my same thing, blood pressure down, cholesterol down, and stuff like that. So we actually been doing pretty good. I've been running and stuff, and I've been using that the Fitbit, and the Fitbit is like, hey, you ran 26 miles. I was like, yay me.
Yeah, yeah, that was the news. I guess I'll say it here. The thing that I was saying on there was that I don't know if other people had this mental hurdle, but like I have issues going to the doctor, and it's not that I don't go, I always go,
right?
But I don't know why I have these issues, because I mean, one, your doctor is there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Your doctor is I think in my mind I go back to like school almost, and it's like pass or fail, like an exam in my mind, like, oh, what if my number isn't this, what if this number isn't that, what if I haven't been doing everything the right way, what if it's not enough. What if, you know, that, so I think I get in my head like that, as opposed to really understanding that is, you know, your numbers are all, it's to help you, to guide you towards the goals that you have in life, towards, mm-hmm. you know, obviously being and staying healthy, getting healthy, things of this nature. But it's like how you would look at, you know, it's kind of like how you would look at, your budget or your spending habits, where you're, it's to help you make better decisions in the future and to show you what the decisions you are making and currently doing to you. So I will sometimes do all the right shit. Like, I've been losing weight this year. I'm like 15 pounds down. I've kept it off. I sometimes I'll do stuff like I won't weigh myself even though I'm trying to lose weight. I'll just,
right.
And I'll get in a point like I'm almost afraid of the scale. Like, I don't want to go weigh myself. What if I weigh more than yesterday? Or what if I weigh, what if I put on fucking 15 pounds? I didn't even notice it. And I'm just going to touch the scale and be like, fuck, I put on 15 pounds since yesterday. So like, I just,
yeah, since yesterday.
It's not rational. I know that
right.
much.
That's hilarious though.
I know, but it's in my head.
Yeah,
it is in my head.
You're not the only one. A lot of other people deal with this.
So when I do stuff like that, I'll be like, well, I don't even really want to go to the doctor then, you know, like what I'll do is I'll schedule my appointment at a time where I know I can make it. There's no excuses. And even then I'll still find like myself making excuses up until like literally getting in the car to go. Like, I remember, earlier this year, I had an appointment where, because traffic was bad, I actually was late, and I was only late by like 10, 15 minutes, but you know, doctors are busy. And so they were like, hey man, you can sit here and wait, but it may be like till noon all day. Like, you might not like, and that's if she gets time to see you.
Right.
And it's just a blood pressure checkup. So it only takes like 15 minutes, but still, if she can't find the time, your ass just going to be sitting out here. It should have been on time. I said, you know what? Let me just reschedule this joint. So I rescheduled it. And it's like, well, we don't have nothing for 2 months or whatever. So, you know, I didn't want to miss my appointment, but in my mind, when stuff like that happens, I'm like, oh, cool. I get to wait two more months to make better decisions, be healthier. Mm. Then I'm going to really come in here. I'm going to kill this shit. And like, it's so ridiculous because like, I've already been doing that work. So I should just be happy to be there. And I still should want to know what my body is saying, you know, if I'm on medicine, what medicines are working.
Right, because those affect your numbers too.
Right, if they're, you know, side effects and shit, you want to know all that stuff. So I was going to the doctor basically like every 3 months or so for this blood pressure checkup thing. Mm-hmm. And it was coming down, and I was still, even this time, like, I don't know if I want to go to the doctor. Like, what if it's still up? What if it's not where I want it to be? What if I wait longer and then it'll be perfect later or whatever? So what I did this time was a little bit different. The night before, when I was so I was worried about it, like, I wasn't even gonna set, because I had a very early morning appointment, that's when I like to go, and I wasn't even gonna set my alarm. I was like, fuck it, I'll just, if I wake up I'll go, if not then fuck it, you know. And of course they call you like 3-4 days before.
Mm-hmm. And then the day of, yes.
Yeah, I have the app on my phone.
You get emails, reminders. They be like, nigga, you got an appointment.
Right. So I know I have the appointment. This is not, and I don't know if other people go through this. This is the only reason I'm talking about it, because maybe you do. And maybe it'll help you. And this is something I've been doing, especially this year, because I've been kind of stepping out of my comfort zone with certain things, mm-hmm. doing things that I, you know, typically don't do, kind of embracing the idea that, you know, some of the shit that's coming to our life is good, but we have to take advantage of it, you know?
Right.
So, what I did was I just closed my eyes. I was sitting on the couch and I just visualized the entire thing, ordeal, like waking up in the morning, taking a shower early in the morning, what clothes I was going to wear, driving, what if there's traffic, what if there's not, what time do I need to leave the house, the fact that it would be dark in the morning and kind of cold, what, you know, like bringing my sweater and my hoodie and all this shit, you know, what book was I gonna read in the lobby, bringing my headphones so I could listen to a podcast during the waiting room, which, you know, it's early in the morning so I didn't have to wait long, but still. Mm-mm. you know, talking to my doctor. My doctor is great. She has like such great bedside manner, quote unquote. Like, she's really nice. She's very positive and supportive.
Right. Very positive.
And she's always, you know, she remembers personal details about,
I clear she does
what I do for a living and all that stuff. And so does the nurse tech, who takes the lab results and stuff. They remember me. He asked me about the Walking Dead podcast we do and the recap, and he was like, well, what is it again? I'm gonna listen to this and all this stuff. And so I imagine all that before I even got, I imagine all that, what the conversation's gonna look like, what if it goes bad, what if my numbers are crazy and I'm like, what the fuck did happen? or what if they're great or whatever, you know? So I just imagined like best and worst case scenarios and all that stuff. And I went in, and I mean, it was like, when I was there, I almost felt silly. I was like, I don't know why I was so anxious about this, but it helped to visualize it. It helped because, you know, yeah, in my mind, that's just a thing that bothered me, and I wasn't 100% sure why. And the same thing happens sometimes. I go to the gym, like, you know, oh, if I want to lift weights, I got to go in this gym with all these motherfuckers that already in great shape.
Yes.
They already know what they're doing on every machine, and I'm not going to know. I'm going to be looking at the fucking instructions and shit. But if I visualize it, I feel like I can do, I'm more mentally prepared to go through it, because it's never as bad as the phobia or the fear or the anxiousness or the anxiety is making it. It's never that bad. It's always better, because for the most part, as much as I think people ain't shit, for the most part, people aren't that bad when it comes to like stuff like this, right? Like, it's, oh, this person's trying to work out, good for them. Oh, this person's going to the doctor, good for them. They're in the right place to get informed about what kind of things are going to help them out in life. And I do this with travel and stuff, you know. I do, like, it's added to my ability to be, I'm already a very patient person, but it's added to my ability to be patient with certain stuff.
Okay.
Because I'm like, well, I imagined already that a scenario where this went terrible. So when it's going terrible, I'm like, this is what I imagined before I left the house.
Yeah.
But I've never really visualized before. Like, I know, I've always done that. Oh, this is gonna be terrible. If I expect the worst and the worst doesn't happen, it was a good day. I do that all the time. But sometimes that negativity puts me in a state where I'm like, well, why even fucking leave the house? Why even do this thing? Because what if it goes bad? Then I'll be like, I could have stayed home and fucking played video games and didn't have to deal with any of this shit. But yeah, I think that's been helping. So yeah, that's what I did. I don't know if you guys want to try it. Later on Twitter, I kind of did a thread about it, and Dara, who used to be on Twitter, she was saying, like, yeah, that, like, therapists and stuff recommend you do that for certain anxiety issues and stuff. And I was like, I didn't get it from a therapist. I didn't know. I just thought about it, and it helped me calm myself. And when I woke up in the morning, and I didn't imagine, like, sunny days, like, I imagine, like, I'm gonna wake up, I'm not gonna wanna get up, I'm just gonna be dark, I'm gonna be tired.
Did one of them early appointments. I do them like them 6:30 appointments. Yeah.
I like, just gotta get up, get out of bed, get in the other room, get your clothes on. Okay. You gotta, you know, brush your teeth. You gotta, you know, take a shower, do all this shit. And, like I said, it helped to visualize it. And if y'all are struggling with stuff like that, even whether it's travel, meeting people, going out places, it's been helping me to do stuff like that. And like, even now, I don't know if I'm looking more approachable or what the fuck, but now people are coming up to me and like, that's kind of a drawback, but people are coming up to me being like, oh my God, I like that shirt, or, you know, you look like so-and-so or whatever. And
people can pick up on that, as weird as that may sound. Yeah. I personally think that people give off auras, you know, like, you can just feel their positive or negative energy. And people can sense those things. And like you say, and to an extent, I'm like that. Then to an extent, we're like night and day. I'm not gonna put it opposite. I'm like, okay, let's go, and whatever happens, right, just whenever we get there, you know.
Yeah, well, I, like I said, it was a good trip to the doctor, not just because of the results. I mean, obviously, I'm very pleased and happy about the results. Me and too. Trending in the right way. And I still put off that, I still would say, because even though I was like, she was like, well, you're up a couple pounds from this summer, but I was like, well, this summer I wasn't wearing jogging pants and a hoodie,
and had your Uggs.
I didn't have my Uggs on in the morning. But I was like, you know, it might just be the pants. Like, I'm still, like, I'm doing a good job. I'm still, you know, still a ways to go, but, you know, I'm just glad I got there. Cause, you know, I felt so relieved when I walked out. Cause I was like, I did it. Cause I really didn't want to do it. And when you're, that's the thing, when you're an adult, you realize there's that switch when you realize you ain't got to do nothing you don't want to do.
Correct.
But there's certain shit that you just need to do as an adult, to take care of yourself and all kinds of other reasons you have to do things. And yeah, if I was so glad I was able to do it. Same thing with you know, travel. Same thing with meeting people. Like, I don't, you know.
Oh yeah, you came up, if people realize you have literally came a very long way with a lot of that.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how we got on a tangent, but that's what I like. I said I have to give the pumpkin spice most of the credit, though, because if it wasn't for the pumpkin spice smells around the house, the candles and the lotions and the Uggs and stuff, I don't know that I would have the ability to center myself like that. You know, because like I couldn't even that day, but I could.
Yes, you need a badge. I'm so happy for you. And before we move on, I know for me, I haven't been in a while, but like when I was taking the yoga classes at the Y, I'm with you with the, you go in there, and particularly yoga, I know when you first, particularly if you first start taking classes, it can be very intimidating. Particularly being Black, like I've tried, I don't know, but I'm gonna see if they have Black yoga classes here.
I'm sure they, it's Charlotte, so of course they do.
Right. So I think that
I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you can probably just go to like one of the Blacker Y's and be in a class full of Black people.
That's true too.
Like, if you just go to the Dow, you'll be that class probably mostly Black women.
Okay. I never think about that.
Depending on where you go.
Right. And I think that like when I first started taking a yoga class, what I realized is one of those things, like you say, I'm gonna say when I envisioned yoga, like before I even started classes, when you go on YouTube and all that stuff, everything's white. You know, eventually you'll find out, oh, it's niggas that do yoga too. But you know, eventually it's like the podcast apps, they just bombard you with all this whiteness. So I know for me, I thought yoga was just a white thing. And when I was going to the class, same thing, it was just a white thing. But once I realized it's people in there of all shapes, all women ain't tiny, all white women ain't tiny. Cause you know, a lot of times yoga can be intimidating because you always see like these small, slender, average, below average white woman stretching and shit. You'd be like, look, I can't do that. I can't bend on my head. I can't squat. I can't do none of that. But once I started going, I realized, A, none of them people give a fuck about you. They trying to do their own thing. A lot of times, one thing I realized, a lot of yoga is about the meditation thing. A lot of it's about getting in your own world and centering yourself and making it about you and closing your eyes and clearing your mind and stuff like that. And so, I know for me, once I started doing that, it kind of open my mind up to not allowing, you know, the shape of my body and shit like that, or the color of my skin, to actually intimidate me walking into, I know it might sound silly, but I deserve the right to be there just like they do. But when you kind of walk in, and I almost take you back to childhood, when you walk into a class, there's nothing but a white instructor with white people around you, and you're the only brown dot, or sometimes it might be one or two of y'all, or sometimes there's no other people of color in there, it makes a difference. But now I'm like, well, shit, I'm here to do the downward dog like you, bitch. I stepped my game up. I got my mat. Shout out to the fans that got me my straps and my blocks and shit like that. So when I go in there, I'm like, I'm not touching y'all nasty shit. I got my own.
Yeah, if you don't see yourself, and a lot of times you can't see yourself.
Correct.
Like, it's like, well, I don't see anybody like me in here doing this, so I can't. But also, I think the thing I always forget is that, like I said, it's mostly because I just think people ain't shit, but I have to get over that sometimes, because for the most part, in certain spaces, people want you there.
Right.
Like, they want more people to join. They want people, you know, like, it don't make them necessarily great people. Like, they still might have wherever they're fucked up or whatever, but they want people to join them in their things, in their journey. So, you know, I just forget that sometimes, you know. But all right, back to this comment. Do white women of color even call it snapback, or is it something else? that OC probably permits it. Anyway, keep up the good work, y'all. Have a good one, Ryder Karen, in my DJ Mike Hitman voice. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, baby.
And the poll was, which is more essential to your life, pumpkin spice or Uggs? And this is a close poll, but 59% of y'all said pumpkin spice, and only 41% said Uggs.
I've never owned a pair of Uggs, but everybody talk about them, say they feel like flames on your feet.
Not flames, Karen, clouds.
Oh, clouds, I'm sorry. I mean flame emojis as far as like, mm-hmm. It's hot in these streets.
Oh, it's lit. Really Dark Knight says, I really hate you for this poll, Rod. However, listening to you two get your pumpkin spice lives this week makes me want to give it a shot. I don't know why y'all hate me, because see, that's the thing. A lot of y'all are so jealous of my happiness. And I don't understand, because Uggs come in all shapes and sizes, mm-hmm. and pumpkin spice is everywhere. Okay?
Yeah, this time of the year.
Get your life, okay? Stop worrying about my life and get your own life.
Yeah, you got...
You're holding yourself back, okay?
People coming out the pumpkin spice closet. They got everybody sharing all kinds of pumpkin spice shit online. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they had that.
Right. Join us, okay? Instead of being so salty over there. All these flavors. And you choose to be salty while we choose to be pumpkin spicy. That's so sad.
Yeah, Miss Mom talking about the candles is flames, y'all.
I got so many pumpkin spice candles in this house, y'all.
Oh, it smells so good in here.
Listen, white people, I hate to tell y'all this, white people was on to something with this one. It happens sometimes. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, white people be on something and it's like, they knew what they were talking about. That's, I didn't know. You know? And this is just one of them times. They just happen to know. It's rare. But these white women, they was on some shit, man. This pumpkin spice, these Uggs.
They just make you feel lattes. Better. I can't explain it. You just feel like smiling and the day starts shining. I can't explain it.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit they wrong for, but they was on to something with this one, you know? It's like how, I hate to say it, guys, but it's like how all the black people in my life keep lying about Taylor Swift being whack. When I'm like, these songs is kind of jamming, though. Like, I get it. We don't like her for whatever reasons. I'm sure she's done plenty of things I'm just not remembering at the time because it's pumpkin spice in my brain. But the songs be jamming to me. I be listening in my car like, this shit is the shit.
It be going hard now. I ain't gonna lie.
No, I don't know. But I know we got the jokes and we got to call her whack. I'm on board. But in my private life, I'll throw on some Taylor Swift every once in a while and just had to deal with it. Really Dark Knight says, for our episode 1552, which had Miss Smart on it, where we recap Walking Dead, Nazi hugging Gabe was the title. Really Dark Knight says, Gabe got out of his car, gets his car jacked, walks to a trailer with a big ass gun, and he's the one who's got his shitting pants on. He deserves to get got. We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. Bye, fool.
We was. Yeah, he gonna die.
The poll was, will Negan kill Gabe? Karen says yes. 59% of people agree with you. Which means 41% say no. Never can tell with Negan, can you?
Yeah, if he don't kill him, he's sitting up with the zombies after he get information out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's going to want information because he's going to be like, something wasn't right for them to be able to bypass all this shit and make their way in here.
Right. Bree in the chat says she has her own Uggs in 10 years. I say Uggs is like passports. It's time to renew, sis.
Hey.
Yes, queen, as they say. All right, let's see if we have any voicemails. I don't know if we do. I know I had somebody that left a couple that I wasn't gonna play. Okay, so that's Saturday. What time? Okay, so it must be. We got some from Thursday. All right, let me see what this is.
Hey, Rod and Karen, this is Daz.
Daz.
I think this is still Rod and Karen because I still don't hear that.
Yes,
the
us.
Up to be
it's us, baby.
Anyway, if this is Ron Can, that Jesus comment y'all made, like, as soon as you were sitting there saying, I picked up a whole thing of scholarly shit on whether or not Jesus is gay. Yeah, I mean, just Google the shit. Just Jesus gay. Google it. Was Jesus gay? That's Vice. Was Jesus gay? Probably. Opinion piece on The Guardian, sexuality of Jesus, whole thing in Wikipedia, Snopes, apparently there's a film that's supposed to come out portraying Jesus is a homosexual, just clicking on the sexuality of Jesus, under the section of homosexuality, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Gospel of John makes reference to the disciple of Jesus, the disciple whom Jesus loved, a phrase which does not occur in the synoptic Gospels. In the text, this beloved disciple is present at the crucifixion of Jesus with Jesus' mother, Mary. The disciple whom Jesus loved may be a self-reference by the author of the Gospel, John 21:24, traditionally regarded as John the Apostle. I don't see anything. I remember I saw some documentary that had a whole segment of, like, there's some guy who, in certain texts of the Gospel that are not in the official canon or whatever, him and this guy snuck off several times. Him and Jesus would be, like, together.
Oh, he got cut off. Hold on. He left another message.
Hey, this is Daz. I just wanted to finish with what I was talking about. I clicked on a couple of different things. The Vice article about Jesus being gay was like, Jesus was a top and a bottom. Most of the stuff I found, there are hints of, you know, his sexuality. There are things he can read into. You know how, like, during slavery, there was no concept of actual racism, but there was racism. And back in the days of the Bible, there was no idea of sexual orientation. But, you know, they describe if you lay with a man as a man would lay with a woman, then da-da-da-da. That's Old Testament, and Jesus didn't necessarily specifically single out that kind of thing as a sin. But it's not like the shit... there's no proof the nigga even existed. I mean, it's like the X-Men and all these different versions of the scriptures is like alternate reality versions of Jesus, of a person that never ever fucking existed, or there's no concrete proof that the motherfucker existed. So, you know, it's fascinating as a discussion to me, but yeah, take my Marvel, or I mean, how about y'all?
Make my Marvel. Nah, that's the thing. Like, I wasn't even trying to be, like, facetious and mock people. Like, I honestly feel like if anybody right now alive made it 33 years, never associated with a woman, and was a religious figure, the vast majority of us jaded human beings would be like, oh, that dude's must be gay. We do it with politicians. We do it. You know, we do it with everybody else. Like, you can't even be a celebrity and be like, you can say I'm 33 and I'm a virgin and people be like, oh, it's cause they're gay. Like, we guess people's sexual orientation all the time. I've just, like I said, I'm not very religious, but I had not heard that discussion before. You know what I mean? And so it came to me on the show and I was like, what if he's gay? Like, what is y'all, he can't be a savior and suck dick? Like, that's, we know so many activists that are LGBTQ and we see how people treat them.
Come on.
You know what I mean? But it's like, what if everybody's favorite savior was on the spectrum as well? Like, what the fuck happens then? You know, like, are you still so fucking hateful towards gay people while you worshiping one? Cause I can see a scenario where that's possible. I know people that think Black Lives Matter, but not gay lives, but you saying the slogan of LGBTQ people that came up with the shit. So, you know, it's, to me, it's very, people are so hypocritical, but it's another angle to examine the hypocrisy within, religion, especially Christianity, since that's the one that's dominant in our culture in America. But it's just another way to examine it. You know, this is like, we make jokes. I don't intend to be disrespectful to anybody, but I'm going to make the jokes. And I understand people are going to not always get down with them, totally within their rights. I'm not here to make you like a joke, but I never felt like we crossed some line into territory where our show doesn't go all the time. So, but yeah, I think that's, like I said, I just thought that must have been obvious that someone would have thought the dude was gay. I mean, he died at 33 with no kids and no family, supposedly.
Probably didn't have a will.
Maybe John might have been in the will. I don't know. You know? But if we know so much of the shit gets manipulated and taken out, you know? Like you said, people even argue about, did he exist? We found his tomb. We didn't find his tomb. you know, what is this story even real? Like, so much of that shit comes up. We're a show that talks about it. I don't think that's such a bad thing. And like I said, no offense intended, but if people took offense, I'm not sorry. Like, at the same time, like, it was jokes and it was commentary, and we do it all the time. Wakanda, Black Americans and the Diaspora Unite. This is from my girl Chi-Chi, who says, "Dearest Karen and Rod, I'm listening to Saturday's feedback show from the 21st, and I just had to comment about Rod's divination about the Black Americans, what Black Americans may do, wear, or speak like on their way to see Black Panther. As a resident Nigerian little sister of the podcast, I'm claiming that title. Aww. Growing up, I used to get really upset whenever I would see Black Americans portray what they thought Africans or Africa was like. The accents that never quite landed on the right words, and the clothing that didn't necessarily match the region, etc. But I realized that I was grading Black people on a scale that was not only ridiculous, but unachievable for my own damn self. I truly do believe that around 2008, with the election of Barack Obama, I saw more Black Americans comfortable with an African identity." Yo, I never thought about that, but that's got to be true. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't just that Barack... Listen, when I first heard the name Barack Obama, and I fucking triple dog motherfucking dare any nigga to say opposite, because I know it's 100% of us. I say all, nigga, all. Every last one of us heard his motherfucking name, was like, ain't got a shot in hell. That nigga won't be winning. I guess he's just maybe for the next time, or maybe he practicing. Right. Maybe he want to move up, because nigga, everybody... Who's debating tonight? John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. It was like,
Who that nigga?
That's unfortunate for him. That's his name. He don't want to go by something else. Nope. Barack Obama. He don't want to be known as Barry O something.
Nope. That's what it's going by.
Big Barry something. Mm-mm. All of us had the same thought, like, nigga can't win. That's too African, sound like Osama. Like, all of us had the same.
That's what they kept saying.
And anybody that tells you differently is motherfucking lying. I'm telling you right now. I can't speak with people.
When he first came on the scene, everybody was like, who that nigga? Who's that?
I can't speak with people outside of America. I can't speak with people from Africa and shit. Maybe first generation or whatever. All of the niggas I know, and most of the niggas on the motherfucking continent, was like, that nigga can't win, you know? So yeah, it must have made people accept it, because it's like, oh yeah, that's his best attribute, is he's a very disarming person. And for better or worse, you know, I'm not trying to pass value judgments, but he's very disarming, and he makes shit that was impossible seem extremely ordinary at this point. We now feel like the idea of a Barack Obama is not so fucking crazy. That's one of the reasons they labeled him as foreign, Muslim, all this shit. He sounded like Osama. He sounded like he wasn't from here as far as his name. Then you see him and motherfucking Barry shows up from Chicago, and you're like, I don't know, this guy seems kind of like a regular Black person to me, like, at least in all the ways that politically people like Black people. He's very well educated, well spoken.
Yeah, they looked at him, they said, but your wife now, she a nigga.
Married, happy, all that shit. Man, even Michelle Obama is so excellent. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also,
yeah, yeah.
Ivy League educated. Like, they are the cream of the crop of respectability, despite how people feel about it.
Right.
But that's part of being elected as a Black person. You ain't gonna have no motherfucking, you know, nappy dreads yet. We ain't got there yet. You know what I mean? Naughty dreads. What nappy dreads? You know, we ain't got to naughty dreads yet. We ain't got to sag pants yet. We ain't got to you can speak a little bonics yet. We ain't there yet. But in all the measurable ways that we judge what an acceptable Black person is, they are both excellent in those measurable ways.
Come on.
And it's just so funny because, yeah, it still felt impossible. Like, I saw him talking and was like, oh man, it's too bad for him. You know, like, what, seemed like a good guy, love his family.
Yeah, I think I might turn, but he speaks so well.
Yeah, it felt that way.
That's what everybody kept saying, like.
But
like,
she's right. That shit did change a lot of people. Cause now it's like, oh, Africa, they Black too. Like, even, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, I mean, you can be African and we can still, it's not a rivalry, it's not a angst and animosity between, it doesn't have to be. And I feel like before that, it was a lot. of like, oh, you just like these white people, you come to this country and you judging me as a nigga here, and you know, people making distinctions of, I didn't come from this slavery like you guys, and like, oh, what are you trying to say? I didn't have no say in that shit.
Come on.
You know, stuff like that. And then vice versa too, people talking bad about folks' accents. I remember when I worked at Wendy's, there was an old African dude named Sam, and everybody used to make jokes about how much he stank, and like, that's a very fucked up stereotype that we have of people from Africa. Now in Sam's case, he did stink, y'all, but in general, I've heard that about just people because they're from Africa, like, oh, he must stink, he from Africa. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, that seems fucked up on some level. So hopefully some of that shit did die down a bit under Obama, because people wanted to claim him, essentially. Like, I'm not saying this because people were great people. It was a selfish motivation of being like, oh, I want to claim him as the black president. So I don't give a fuck he's Barack Obama, first generation, you know, from roots going back to Africa. I don't give a fuck. Like, he my president, and I think that's where it came from. So yeah, I guess I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, and also I know with the advancement of technology, I think that Barack Obama may have something to do with the spike in people doing their ancestry stuff to find out how far mm-hmm. their roots go back, you know, and things like
all that stuff, right? Yeah, naming their kids different stuff now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, black people always kind of did it, but just, you know, I bet you it's more intentional now, you know, like, these are proud, this is our heritage, let's, you know,
yeah, I hate that there's, from it, be proud of it.
I hate all divides between black people, man, because, you know, and some of them are self-inflicted, some of them are people that just ain't shit, so fuck them, obviously, mm-hmm. but I hate that they exist, because in so many ways, we're stuck in this cycle, and we're just trying to survive and navigate, and then we end up taking each other out for shit that, you know, it was like she said, it's unrealistic for us to think that anyone can be perfect, but we'll, like, it's not just a matter of we disagree, but now I have to, like, take you out of your blackness, like, I don't, you're not black to me anymore, you're out of the club. And it can be something as silly as you from Africa, or your name sound funny, or, you know, something like that, as opposed to, you know, when people willfully do fucked up shit, and then I understand, but some of it's just not, you know, like, I hope, like I said, we'll see. I really do think niggas are gonna wear dashikis and people gonna be mad about it, but hopefully it's not enough people to make it a big deal. But just prepare yourself, and please don't jump in these people's mentions and shit, because I get it, you know, but I don't do the appropriation fighting shit anyway, but I get the whole thing that it's going to exist and people are going to be mad.
Yep.
Anyway, perhaps it was because I was in college and exposed to more individuals. However, the Afro identity manifested, whether it was in music, fashion, culture. I started to become extremely proud of seeing the African diaspora in popular culture, from New Orleans to the West Indies up to Europe, and Afro-Latinx cousins. Hola, familia. I say all this to say, this Nigerian cousin of yours excited to see my black American cousins dress up in their finest dashikis and African wear, their finest pan-African jewelry, selling fish plates, and going to see the blackest movie of 2018. I'll be there in full Niger regalia. Perhaps I'll leave the head tie at home so y'all can actually see the movie. See, and she put a picture of her, I think this is her husband, but I don't want to guess too much, but yeah, it is her husband, her West Indian husband. Yeah. They have a picture together in the African garb and at their wedding. It looks so beautiful. All in all, come on in, cousins. I have, I saved a seat for you. Much love as always. Chi Chi from Cleveland. P.S. The photo is my traditional wedding to my West Indian husband almost 5 years ago this Thanksgiving. Y'all look beautiful. But yeah, man, I hope that, you know, hopefully most people be cool about it, because I really do think it's gonna be a fun time, but I recognize with the internet, nothing is sacred, you know, somebody always gonna be mad about something.
Yes, they are.
Feedback show message from new member Auntie Mae. Let me begin by thanking you, Roz and Kevin, for giving you your old Auntie Mame life. I've been living in a foreign country, Silicon Valley, San Jose, for almost 10 years. with no black folks in my community. The truth is, I've gotten my entire life from your podcast. Your love, laughter, and insights have lifted and carried me through three of the most dreadful years of my past 50 years. Like many have said before me, I feel like y'all are my little cousins I didn't know I had, and having finally found you, yours are the voices I seek out every time the family gathers. I won't lie, I spend way more time with y'all than I do my own blood. But I have a confession to make. For far too long, I boldly slid my black ass into the second pew and sung along with Fucking With Black People, kikied along at Kevin and Roz's painful puns, and fronted like I've been tithing this whole time. Shame. There's no way to make up for my money you unquestionably deserve, not to mention could have used over the past 3 years, but I'ma try. Count this as my first five on it. Now, where the new members class at? With love and appreciation, your Auntie Mame. Oh,
thank you. And in fact, it's down the hallway to the right.
Yep. Oh, that's so dope. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Brandy wrote in, she's the woman who went to the Living Color concert and sent us the video, where we got invited by, Corey Glover. She says, hello, Rod and Karen. Caught the podcast yesterday. I'm so glad to hear you're going to the show. I quit my job last year and I've been trying to live my best pumpkin spice life ever since. I heard some of the questions about how the invite came and I thought I'd give a little more detail about the experience. Okay. I'll try to keep it brief, but please don't feel like you have to read this on the show. No, I'm gonna read it.
We're gonna read all of it, baby.
For the past decade, I've been taking myself on what I've dubbed my Party of One tour, where I basically try to catch as much live show music as my budget will allow, and sometimes I call in birthday presents early to make it happen. I love live music, but got tired of my friends canceling on me, so I started going to shows on my own. And now it's my preferred thing. I seen everyone from Prince to Kanye and then some.
Wow.
This past weekend, it was all about rock in the Queen City. Thanks to your interview with Corey Glover, I started tracking Living Color again and was shocked to see them coming close to Cincinnati. I was on my way to see another band when I dropped everything to buy my ticket for LC. That other band was San Fermin, Indie Chill Vibe. Also lucked up on a Foo Fighters ticket to say... So last Friday, I spent 3 hours getting my Gen X life on the river. I then hit the road Saturday afternoon and to trek to Dayton to catch Living Color with my ears still buzzing. I'm not going to spoil the show for you. I'm a bit of a purist, rarely looking at reviews or set lists before I go see an act so I can be surprising in the moment. And all I'll say is wear your earplugs for any opening acts, but whip those suckers out for LC and let the sound hit you. I rocked out on Crutches Surfing Accident and got the, oh, you are living your best white woman life.
Come on.
And got the chance to meet everyone after the show. They even signed a thank you note for my mom after I told them how I stole her, her cassette single of Love Rears Up Its Ugly Head. Still got it. When I got the chance to speak with Corey Glover, I basically was like, I'm so glad you did the blackout tips and that we nerded out. Then we nerded out about the blackout tips and how much we want to hug Karen. I had made up a little card for a TVGWT selfie, but he was like, let's do a video. I've been trying to reach them. And I was like, we can make that happen right now. And that's how that went down. LOL. That's my completely dazed post-show face in the video. It takes a while for me to come down after guitars get in my chest. LOL. I could get a bit nervous in crowds, particularly rock and indie crowds in Trump's America, but I felt at home as soon as they hit the stage and everyone was kind to me. Easily in my top 10 concert experiences. Hope you both have a great experience too. All right, this email feels hella long, but I hope you both know you are loved out there in these podcast rockstar streets. For the culture, B. Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time we got left?
116.
All right, let me see. This is too long. All right, let me add another session. Okay. Real quick.
Yeah, we want to switch over.
Yeah, I want to get everybody's feedback in,
so everybody can hear it. Yeah.
So give me 1 second. I'm gonna add
baby, thank you. And you know, it's something I've learned too. As you get older, you learn how to do most shit on your own, because like I said, working out, I had to learn, look, this is my journey and my journey only, you know. And you get tired of canceling and shit and rearranging shit and all that stuff just to try to get on somebody else's schedule. So, honey, go ahead and see. You got to see people that are no longer here.
Oh, we had more than 1 minute, but go ahead.
Oh, I said 116.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've misunderstood you. I thought you said we had 1 minute and 16 seconds.
No,
left.
No.
Okay, yeah, we had like 4 minutes. Hey, let me, all right, but no, go ahead. Finish with your thoughts.
Oh, no problem. And, so I think for me, the older you get, the more you're willing to do that stuff. Cause like I go out to eat by myself. I go shopping by myself. I do a lot of more stuff by myself. And a lot of times it's connection, time to get in your own mind, time to do your own thing. So baby, I am so happy and excited.
Not hugging white thugs while wearing Uggs and sipping lattes and living my best life. Equals Living My Best Life by Miss Martinkins. That hug thing makes me sick, like nausea. Steven stank gall, just ooh, just no. Justin would have to bring Janet Miss Jackson If You're Nasty out to do her Rhythm Nation that includes a mashup of the Knowledge and Formation in all black with a Bodak Yellow dance break. The timeline will be hot. I will be at the virtual Super Bowl party. I'm taking the next day off so I can live tweet and get my entire life. I live overseas, so I plan on making that a long weekend. Since that's not happening, I'll be getting that Jordan cry face ready for your boy, the sweet soul simp. Oh yeah, he gonna get roasted. Either way, I win. If he don't bring Janet out, he get roasted, and I'm laughing at the jokes on Twitter. If he brings her out, then okay, cool, good for Janet, good for him.
He's still gonna get roasted. I'm still gonna roast him regardless.
Oh, the roasting gonna happen. I can't wait. On another note, I'm avoiding most social media until Black Panther comes out. I want to go in a cold experience. For some reason, the Podbean app downloaded the wrong episode for yesterday's podcast. I was so confused. I thought you already discussed the accent for Wakanda, which sent me to search, and she found the LA Times article about Chadwick Boseman. For the website, I don't expect you to read this on the show, and I also figured you'd read this, but just in case you didn't, you may have covered it and I missed it. As far as where the accent comes from is, it's obviously fictional African country, but I wanted to base it in reality. I had done a movie before Civil War called Message from the King, and I'd done to South Africa a couple times for research and for filming in that movie. While I was there, I found a dialect coach, same coach I'm using for Civil War. It primarily based in I don't know how you pronounce this, XHOSA dialect, and it's not that. He had extensive knowledge of various places. Oh, so he basically went all the way through and made it official. That's dope. I know y'all love pumpkin spice, but don't sleep on a dark skin sister flavor, the maple pecan latte. Baby, it's life. When I find one, I'm gonna send y'all a candle so you can have all the pumpkin spice, maple pecan, warm, tasty wintertime afternoons.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're about to get cut off. Let me go to the next session, guys. Mm-hmm. Coming right back. We'll be right back on your screens. But yeah, I mean, that's the next wave. That's what the white women is on now. You know, I'm still catching up on pumpkin spice, but maple pecan, the stock is rising, you know, so.
I like maple pecan.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine I will be, moving to that.
They got a maple pecan pie, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, but I don't want that. I like maybe the maple pecan donuts and coffees and stuff. Yeah. You know, if they got candles, I'll take that. But, you know, I got to get all the pumpkin spice out of my system first. You know, I got a lot of catching up to do. She also says, also, I know y'all love pumpkin spice. Oh, wait. All right. Black people love the Golden Girls. Remember your boy who remixed the theme song? Of course he do. I didn't watch the stream of this episode, listening at work, and it helps my colleagues stay nose punch free. So I just imagine you got the Golden Girls Powderpuff Girls shirt mashup on. That's the only one I have. Oh nah, my Golden Girls shirt, it looks like the cover for Queen's album, but it's just the four ladies, and then at the bottom it says Queens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got Rose, Blanche, Sophia, and Angela, I think. Dorothy. It's all of them in that like kind of triangle shape. It's a dope shirt. I really love it. It's one of my faves. Rod, you go on ahead and step into the fullness of you. I'm following suit. Karen, if everyone loved our people like you do, we'd be okay. Y'all keep supporting each other's dreams. Come through, love on love, love the show, live your best lives like Oprah, Gucci, Keisha, Janet, Cardi, Blue Ivy, and the Obamas and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out to Cardi. She got married last night. Proposed to.
Cool.
Last night, engaged. You know what's weird about that though? I was like, yeah, what if she would have said no? That would have been the most infamous curve in the history of the internet. People have taken a lot of chances with these public proposals these days. Man, he must have knew she was gonna say yes. Woo.
One day somebody is gonna say no, because you're gonna have somebody like, this is what I'm not gonna do.
Yeah, they had just broke up for like a day last weekend. Like, I'm glad it's working out, but that was my first thought, was, ooh, boy, it couldn't be me. What if she would have hit that? I don't think so, Offset.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not so fast.
Right, it's nothing wrong with doing big proposals, but you better know she gonna say yeah.
Ooh, that would have been awkward. I'm glad she said yeah. Ooh, the timeline would have been crazy. Oh, and the ashes would have been all out. Ooh. Anyway, lastly, Rosalie writes in, hi Rod and Karen. First of all, I love you both. You have done so much to improve my critical thinking. Although I do find myself in a constant state of giving side eye, still no other podcast can make me get angry than laugh out loud and walk away with so many quotables. Anyway, I was so excited to hear about Karen's new venture, but an older episode is playing instead. Yeah, I fixed that. That was my bad, y'all. I'm still enjoying the repeat. Would love to hear more about Karen's role at Safety Pin. Oh, okay. By the way, I've already been contemplating signing up for Safety Pin, especially after your recent promo for a free box. I didn't submit a request then because I believe they should get all the money possible. However, having Karen involved just upped the ante for me. Thanks for all you do. Much love from a recurring donator, Rosalie V.
Oh, thank
Rosalie.
You,
okay, Rosalie V. Thank you. And I fixed the episode, so a lot of people had the same issue. I uploaded the wrong audio, but I deleted. If you delete that and then re-upload it, it's fine now.
Okay.
And then Karen, did you want to, I mean, I don't know, you haven't started officially yet, so did you want to talk about your role there, what you'll be doing, or you want to wait?
Yeah, I want to wait till I learn more about what I'm doing.
All right, let's let her wait.
I know what I'm doing, but just more detail about it.
Yeah, let's let her wait, y'all. But, you know, she'll be letting y'all know the tea, you know. I just made up a whole entire reality where we come on the show and talk bad about everybody at Safety Pin. But I was like, listen, y'all, Marissa had onions for lunch today and she didn't even brush her teeth after. Mm-mm. Was all up in Karen's face. Yeah, we gonna get you tea.
We're gonna do a podcast called Unclip the Pin.
Right.
Pin unclipped.
Paperclip box. We gonna be out here. Paperclip box got a spy inside now, guys. Okay. And don't forget, this month's paperclip box, pumpkin spice and Uggs, okay? We are going.
Pumpkin spice and Uggs.
Yes, you get a discount. Just send me money, and you can use me as your black friend for when you say something racist online. Just send me the money, and we're gonna, and make sure you sign up for my new petition. We got some people we're gonna be boycotting, and I'm gonna let you know when we're gonna be boycotting them after you share our show and let people know to come listen to the show. So we'll paperclip box is happening. Speaking of what's happening at 3 o'clock today, me and Bossy are gonna recap This Is Us from this week.
Y'all thought she surprised. Y'all thought y'all wasn't gonna get one.
I didn't think y'all were gonna get one. So I haven't even watched it yet. I gotta watch it as soon as we get off of here. But yeah, we're gonna do that at 3. I'll tweet out the links on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. So yeah, we will be recapping it. Still, it's gonna happen. So glad, and I'm happy to do it. I'm so glad.
Me too.
We can do it. And yeah, so I'll see some of you guys at 3 again. For the rest of you guys, kiss my ass. No, just kidding. For the rest of you guys, we'll see y'all tomorrow when our guest will be Ray Sani from the Miss Sandy podcast.
I'm looking forward to that. And
right?
So yeah, this week gonna be a I don't know,
it's gonna be a weird week.
Monday, but Sunday, Monday, we're not doing Tuesday.
Are we not? I don't know. We don't have to leave to go up there for a while.
Oh, well,
we could do an early morning show.
Ooh, I would like that.
Just depends.
We'll see. Black guy tip in the morning.
We'll see, guys. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Mwah.